I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. The storms may rage and the billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. No earthly storm e'er can move my soul. I'm on the everlasting rock. The everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings we without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Thank you, men, for that song of invitation for the Holy Spirit. And thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ with the goal of fulfilling the Great Commission in our lifetime. As I was preparing for this program, I read some fascinating information about the wonders of our sense of smell. When we smell a pleasant aroma of food cooking, we might want to eat even though we're not really hungry. And then other smells trigger memories of things from our past. The sense of smell is truly a great gift from God, and this sense of smell is related to our subject today. So I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching, Diffusing the Aroma of Christ. Most of you have heard of essential oils. These oils are compounds that are derived or extracted from plants, and especially herbs, and then they're mixed with a carrier oil to make them usable. Essential oils are used in aromatherapy, or they're applied topically to the skin. You probably know as well as I do there are some outlandish claims about what essential oils can do for you, but there clearly are some positive physiological effects. One way to use these oils is to have a diffuser. And diffusers work in different ways, but the goal is the same, and that's to spread the aroma of the oil into the air where you can inhale it. The National Institutes of Health reports that inhaling the aromas from essential oils can stimulate areas of your limbic system. That's a part of your brain that plays a role in your emotions and behaviors and your sense of smell and even your long-term memory. The limbic system also plays a role in controlling several unconscious physiological functions, things like your breathing and your heart rate and your blood pressure. So what would you think if I told you that the scriptures talk about you and me as followers of Christ being diffusers of his fragrance or aroma? Not sure? Well, they do, and that's what we want to explore in our study today, diffusing the aroma of Christ. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 17. So I invite you to listen as I read these words of the Holy Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God, in Christ. This portion of Scripture reveals to us the settings in which we're called to diffuse the aroma of Christ. The first setting in which we diffuse the aroma of Christ is in anxious expectation. One of the things we know about the Apostle Paul is that he was all in for Jesus. In his service for Christ, there was no hardship or struggle he was unwilling to endure, even to the point of physical death. We also know that he cared deeply for his brothers and sisters in the church at Corinth. But we know something else, too. Paul was human, just like you and me, and he got tired, he got annoyed, he got frustrated, and sometimes discouraged. And so we find him here in the opening verses of our text in a state of anxiety that is almost disabling. Here he is in Troas with an open door of ministry in front of him. And remember, this was a door that, according to Acts 16, had previously been closed to him. So you would think he would be overjoyed at the opportunity to walk through that door. But he wasn't. Now, we know that he entered that door and he began to work, but he became so overwhelmed by his anxiety about what was happening in Corinth that he left for Macedonia to look for Titus. You know, I'm blessed by how the scriptures show us the humanity of the biblical characters. We can learn from their successes and their failures. I don't know about you, but I tend to think of the Apostle Paul as super spiritual, perhaps even superhuman. But you know, that's not accurate. James says of the prophet Elijah that he was a man with a nature just like ours. And those same words apply to the Apostle Paul. And in this case, he allowed his anxiety to get the best of him. It may have robbed him of a more effective ministry opportunity there in Troas. And we'll learn very shortly that his anxiety really wasn't necessary. A man received a phone call one evening that his son had been in a car accident and he was being transported to the hospital by ambulance. Before he and his wife rushed out the door to go to their son, they took a moment to pray. This man reminded his wife that if they went to pieces in this difficult time, they would demonstrate that they didn't really trust Christ after all. They'd be no different than those who had no faith in Jesus. And so they wanted to diffuse the aroma of Christ even in the midst of their anxiety and care for their son. When my wife Joyce received her cancer diagnosis, obviously we were deeply concerned. But we had confidence that God knew about this before we did. and we wanted Him to be glorified in our response. We wanted the aroma of Christ to be diffused from our lives. And Joyce, especially, touched many people through this experience by her cheerful attitude and her trust in Jesus. And she continues to do that as she praises God for her recovery and good health. So how do you deal with the pressures and concerns that you experience in life? Are you like the Apostle Paul in this instance, allowing your anxiety to distract you from the work at hand? Are you constraining the aroma of Christ? Or are you able to spread that aroma even in the midst of anxious expectation? And then there's another setting in which we diffuse the aroma of Christ. It is in joyful celebration. I'm amazed at verse 14 because it shows us the potential for the explosive change that can take place in human emotions. From anxiousness and restlessness of spirit and despair to exuberant joy and gratitude. What made the difference? Well, according to chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul received a good report from Titus about the believers in Corinth, and that report transformed his whole outlook on life. So, in spite of all Paul's worry and stress and anxiety, God's work was continuing unhindered in the church at Corinth. And I believe that's the motivation for this outburst of praise. It sprang from Paul's deep-seated conviction that God's work in him and through him, regardless of the appearance of a setback, was continuing to advance without exception. Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell are not prevailing against it. You and I need to remember that too. Now, it's interesting to note that right here, Paul begins a long digression about the glory of the Christian ministry, and it doesn't end until you get to the beginning of chapter 7. By Christian ministry, I mean he talks about the work of a minister of the gospel. And while we don't all serve in positions of leadership, every disciple of Christ is a minister, that's a servant of the gospel. And so the things that Paul writes about apply to you and me, regardless of what our position is. I really like the way the English Standard Version translates verse 14. Let me read it for you. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Paul's readers would have immediately understood the word picture that he was drawing. They were familiar with a Roman victory parade, where the victorious general was returning from conquest. He entered the city in a special chariot. He was preceded by the captives and the spoils that he had taken in the war. And then he was followed by his troops, and they proceeded along the sacred way to the capital, where he offered sacrifices in the temple of Jupiter. And as this procession made its way through the streets, the priests of Jupiter were carrying burning censers that left behind them fragrant clouds of incense to float over the throng of spectators. Try to imagine the sights and the sounds and the smells. And then the general was often accompanied in his chariot by his young children, sometimes by close friends. And behind him in the chariot stood a slave holding over his head a jeweled crown. The body of infantry brought up the rear, and their spears were adorned with laurel, the symbol of victory. And they shouted, "Triumph!" and sang hymns in praise of either the gods or praise of their leader. On these occasions, the temples were all thrown open, and garlands of flowers decorated every shrine, and incense smoked on every altar. The victor and his adoring followers were greeted with clouds of the fragrant perfume from that incense. Paul describes himself and other subjects of Christ's grace under this figure of this triumphal procession. They are being led as trophies of the Redeemer's conquest. But you know, we haven't been conquered by force. We've been conquered by love. As God leads his servants as prisoners of war in a victory parade, he spreads the knowledge of Christ everywhere through them. In Roman victory processions, the prisoners would be dejected and bitter. But for those of us who have been conquered by Christ's love, we're not dejected, but jubilant. And so from Paul's lips comes overflowing thanksgiving to God, God his captor. The original construction of the sentence shows us that the knowledge of Christ is symbolized as an odor or a fragrance that communicates its nature and effectiveness through the work of the apostles. And so today, it is through you and me, as Christ followers, that God spreads or diffuses the fragrance or the aroma of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Our character and our work should exude that pleasant aroma. So whether you're at Walmart, or the DMV, or your local hardware store, or the auto repair shop, the people you interact with should experience the aroma of Christ. Are you courteous and friendly, with a ready smile for those that you meet? How you respond to an irritating neighbor, or a driver, or a disgruntled fellow employee should spread the fragrance of Jesus. Can you ignore the rudeness or being taken advantage of and still respond in a way that Jesus would? Taking time to serve the helpless, the weak, and the downcast spreads the aroma of Jesus to a world that is so desperately in need of Him. But not everyone will respond positively to the aroma of Christ. Paul said, "To some we will become an odor of death leading." I understand this to mean from the death of Christ that the apostles preached in the gospel to the eternal death of those who reject that teaching. I firmly believe that one reason for the tremendous rage we see in some parts of our culture is because people are engaging in lifestyle choices they instinctively know are sinful. And so when they're confronted by the aroma of Christ in a righteous person, it reminds them of the truth written on their hearts and of their own failure to suppress that truth. Other people will respond positively to the fragrance of Christ, and Paul says they will receive life. Life leading to life probably means from the resurrection of Christ that is preached in the gospel to the eternal life of those who believe that message. Their life will be transformed, and the aroma of Christ will continue to spread wider and wider. Our job is to spread the fragrance of Christ freely, and then we let the responses up to Him. So I ask you, is your life diffusing the aroma of Christ in joyful celebration? Or are you more like the conquered Roman captives, dejected, hopeless, forlorn? To be a genuine Christ follower requires full surrender, but Jesus promised us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And then there's a final setting in which we diffuse the aroma of Christ. It is in sincere proclamation. In verse 16, Paul asks the rhetorical question, who is sufficient for these things? The answer, obviously, is that none of us are. In ourselves, we're not sufficient. We don't have what it takes. But someone must preach the gospel, and God has called you and me, in spite of our imperfections, to take up that task. Paul then makes a bold but necessary statement in verse 17. He says, we are not like those who are peddlers, or we could say hucksters, of God's word. I learned that the imagery here is of the wine dealers of that day who were notoriously corrupt in their business dealings. They did things like add water to the wine to increase the amount they could sell. Or they would take new wine and mix it with old, and then they would sell it as old wine because they could charge a higher price for it. Paul is accusing the false teachers at Corinth of doing similar things with the gospel, diluting it or twisting it for the sake of popularity or financial gain. And he reminds his readers that we, that is the apostles, are not like that. Evidently, there were some in Corinth who were preaching for profit, and so Paul steadfastly refused to take any financial support from the Corinthian church, just so he couldn't be accused of being a preacher for hire. You know, today there's continual pressure in our world to make the gospel more palatable to both believers and unbelievers. Continual pressure to dilute the hard sayings of Jesus, to preach a gospel that requires nothing of those who profess to follow Jesus, to change the aroma of Christ. Unfortunately, many have succumbed to that pressure, promoting the gospel as an escape mechanism from eternal punishment that requires no corresponding life change. No denying oneself, no taking up the cross, and following Jesus. Others preach a view of God as a benevolent grandfather who has an unlimited supply of candy to hand out to his grandchildren with no thought for their long-term health or well-being. You know, I fear that many who embrace these diluted forms of the gospel will realize too late that they've embraced a false gospel that leads only to death. Now look at how Paul closes this chapter. He has a very solemn view of his relationship to God. He was a minister of the gospel commissioned by God. He was responsible to God, and he was empowered by Christ. Now, while you and I don't have the same visibility or position like the Apostle Paul did, we do have a similar relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility to spread the aroma of Christ through the sincere proclamation of His truth. So how is it with you? First of all, are you one of Christ's captives? If you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation, then what I've shared today probably makes no sense to you. But if you are a Christ follower, are you diffusing the aroma of Christ to those around you? Or are you allowing your anxieties to hinder the spread of that aroma? You know something? Our worry, our anxiety, does nothing to change the situation. All it does is hinder us from fulfilling God's purpose for us in a difficult time. Paul's anxiety over what was happening in Corinth didn't change anything. All it did was temporarily rob him of his joy and his effectiveness. And the same thing happens to you and me. Are you diffusing the aroma of Christ in joyful celebration? You and I have been conquered by Christ's love. Are we part of the triumphal procession of the saints of all the ages? Is your life and mine spreading the fragrance of Christ throughout our sphere of influence? And finally, are you diffusing the aroma of Christ in your sincere proclamation of the gospel? Are you and I, like the Apostle Paul, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes? My prayer is that God will enable us by His grace to diffuse the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Thank you, choir. My friend, has God spoken to you through the teaching of His Word today? He has spoken to my heart as I prepared this teaching. I do want to grow in diffusing the aroma of Christ everywhere I go. If you're joining me in that desire, I'd love to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or send your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like to share today's teaching with a friend, you can get either a printed transcript or a digital audio file for them. Or you can just point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to the program when it's convenient for them. To get a copy of this teaching, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, and ask for a copy of the teaching, Diffusing the Aroma of Christ, either in print or a digital audio file. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. And if you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. We also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Right now, through the generosity of several donors, we have a double matching gift opportunity. Our goal is to raise $80,000, with the double match taking us to $240,000. Through the generosity of our donors, we're closing in on about two-thirds of our goal. So these funds will be used to cover the costs of our international broadcasts that are currently unsponsored. To learn more, you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org. And remember, too, God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, ensures that the Voice of Hope will be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again, remember, you are not alone.